Address committee members directly with your comments. Raise your hand in Zoom by clicking raise hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have used the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To remote committee members, if you wish to speak, please also raise your hand in Zoom. You will find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen. And remote committee members, a reminder, please don't use the chat box to make any comments or have any sidebar conversations. And it looks like all our committee members, thank you very much for turning on your cameras if you're able. All right, let's move on. Next item is approval of the agenda. Mr. Marshall, are there any changes to the agenda?
No changes.
All right. We will deem the agenda approved as posted then, unless anyone has anything to add to that. Okay, we're deeming it approved as posted. Let's move on now to agenda item 2, which is approval of the minutes. The October 26, 2022 minutes will be in the December 14th packet. Okay, so we don't, so we're, yep, okay, that's why I didn't see them. That makes sense. Now on to agenda item 3, discussion on out-of-basin projects. John, if you can frame this up for us, and then this is noticed for discussion only, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think there's been some recent inquiries about kind of TRPA's relationship, regulatory relationship to projects that are close to our borders, or close to the basin. And we've had, you know, these kind of discussions over the years, Shelley. I know that we have had them several times. And what the intro that I wanted to do was just kind of give what we've done, you know, how we've reacted to projects near the basin boundaries in the past, and particularly if there's any board members, and I know that Bill wanted to talk about this, we can talk specifics. Marcia Birch is on the line. She's been handling the Palisades Tahoe redevelopment because I have a conflict, and so I've been stepping out of that discussion. I'm going to give a kind of a general intro, and then we can talk about specifics, and I'll recuse myself if we get into the specifics regarding Palisades. So really, the two major projects have been the Placer County projects in Martis Valley and in Olympic Valley. The way that we look at these projects is they are extraterritorial for us. So we don't have particular regulatory authority as TRPA. But we do participate where appropriate to protect the basin's interests in either the approval process or more particularly for California side projects, the CEQA process. And so in the past, we have submitted comment letters, for example, in the Martis Valley development and the North Star ski area developments when projects within that area have the ability to either through traffic or scenic to or other ways to affect the Lake Tahoe basin environment. And we have done that through the CEQA process, writing comments basically on the quality of the environmental document that the local approving agency in California has prepared. Now that in those cases we're Placer County, so it brings us into a little bit of awkward relationship sometimes with a member of our own governing board or an important partner that we have over the years, and so we try to be very upfront with the government agency that's considering our comments and say, here are our concerns, and here's how we think those concerns can be mitigated. So that's what we've done. If you want to talk specifics, I can talk about what's happened with Martis, and then Marcia can talk about where we are with the Palisades developments. Is that?
That sounds great to me.
Okay.
That sounds good to everyone.
How, John, how typically, how early in the process does TRPA engage with our partners? After the document has been submitted for review or prior to that?
Well, we would like to engage as early as possible. If we don't feel we're getting traction, then we participate as a interested agency would, which would be submitting comments on a draft environmental document, for example. Obviously, we have lines of communication with partner governments who are, you know, close to our borders. And so we have in the past also used those to say, here's what we're looking for in those developments. And I think particularly with the Martis case, there was just some kind of fundamental disagreements on how to implement TRPA's mitigation programs on projects that were outside the basin but had impacts within the basin. And that's where there was some disconnect. And that resulted in, I think, our comment letter saying, no, you need to address the VMT issues, the traffic issues that these projects right against our borders would be generating within the basin. And that you need to take that into account. And in particular, using our standards of significance within the basin to assess the significance of impacts. And that was kind of in the Martis documents, that was kind of the place where we weren't quite in alignment with Placer County. And it ended up being, you know, our comments being utilized by the plaintiffs, the environmental plaintiffs in that case, and ultimately by the courts of review to say, Placer County, you need to have looked at these water quality impacts and other impacts from the basin perspective, I think. Oh. So I think that provided, I'm not certain if it's a warning shot or whatever it is, but please take those basin-related considerations into effect. And while you have, you know, the lead agency has the discretion to choose their standards of significance under CEQA and our environmental Article 7 and under NEPA, you really need to take a hard look at our rules and then justify why you're not following them if you're going to choose not to do so.
So I presume, I mean, based on the way the TRPA's comments have been treated by the courts, if we engaged as a litigant, we would have standing, but we still have an impact, obviously, on the direction that these developments take from an environmental perspective, merely by making comments. So
correct.
It doesn't require engagement, legal engagement, in order to have our concerns addressed and hopefully incorporated into the environmental documents.
Correct. As far as I know, TRPA has never participated as a plaintiff in a near basin, out of basin, but near basin development.
How about as a friend of the court?
Not that I recall. I mean, we did not participate as such in the Martis litigation,
right.
And I don't think we have. But, you know, I think the documents that we provide certainly have been utilized by parties in the litigation.
Okay. John, did the court give any indication, and my guess is this is incredibly project specific, but just how far out that nexus goes? Because in my mind, if you're thinking about air quality effects, let's say a biomass facility or something that emits more, I mean, that now all of a sudden you're in the basin from sort of further away, or traffic if you're in El Dorado Hills that affects up the hill, but how far do you go, right? Is there any indication? And again, my guess is it's very project specific, but did they give any?
That's a slippery slope.
Yeah,
well,
literally.
It's a slippery west slope.
right.
The short answer is no.
Okay.
But there is lots of guidance in CEQA, NEPA case law, and to some degree our case law, about, you know, the speculativeness of impacts. So, you know, the farther out you get, the more tenuous the connection to a direct impact. You know, so when we get into West Slope, California, or the Sacramento, you know, basin, or Reno, you know, or Las Vegas, it becomes more tenuous in our ability to say those developments are impacting TRPA in such a way that we need to, you know, participate in some fashion. You know, that is not to say if, you know, there's some huge development someplace that the aggregate impact would be noticeable that we shouldn't do something. But I think to date, we have not commented as an agency on either slope development that's not right up against our borders.
And the MARTIS was the water. That was the nexus. It was a water quality issue.
Well, I mean, it was a water quality issue caused by traffic.
Okay.
So it was really the traffic generation. And in the first phases of that development, or the first initial designs, there was scenic concerns because it at the top of 267, there's a plateau and you're out of the basin, but you can be seen from inside the basin. So there was concern about scenic, particularly night, a line of development you could see from the basin. And we felt that should have been analyzed. The developer then moved those buildings back so they were not only out of the basin, but out of the view shed. And so that then it became much more about the traffic impacts associated with, you know, loading more cars on 267 coming into the basin.
Mm-hmm. So the allegation, maybe allegation is the wrong word, but the insistence by some that TRPA has somehow been neglectful and not engaging in a more aggressive manner is really unfounded, because I'm getting the sense from you that by submitting comment letters and expressing our concern about potential impacts in the basin, a lot of those comments have been taken to heart either by the project proponent or by the court in the way this project is reviewed.
I would say yes. I would say that it's, you know, a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, I think we were a little late late to the game on the Palisades development back when it was under its prior name. But the CalAG really got what we would have wanted, which was the mitigation of those traffic impacts through payment of our trip reduction mitigation. We would have requested the same thing. So it was less about the adequacy of the analysis per se, and more about whether or not the impacts were being mitigated. With MARTIS, it was a little more about, we came in a little earlier and we were a little more directly involved with the production of the environmental document. I don't know, Bill.
I want to make sure Bill, Sue, Wes, that you have a chance to weigh in here if you wanted to, and then Marcia. Bill, you're on mute.
Thank you. I guess John's segue there about the earliest opportunity is what I would like to point out, because when Clem and I took some umbrage, the few times we do with John Marshall, was over the Palisades, which was then Squaw Valley's project. And we didn't provide any comments at all on that project. And we were asked by, interest groups as why we didn't. And we didn't have a good answer for that. So, as things kind of evolve as you on this governing board, you start thinking about, wait a minute, you know, we're more than TRPA. Our regional transportation plan applies especially in certain areas in Placer County outside of the basin. And we are a metropolitan planning organization that provides funding, and actually there's funding on page 103 of our packet that's going to be before the operations committee of funding buses for TART with our federal funds that we receive as part of being the metropolitan planning organization for the basin. And that basin includes TART's overall program, which goes into Nevada County for that matter. And so there is a provision in the CEQA guidelines that helps us provide some sense of how far, what is the nexus, how do we deal with that issue? And I provided that to Haley and also to Marcia, but it really says that for a project of area-wide significance, the transportation planning agencies and public agencies which have transportation facilities, which would include transit facilities, within their jurisdictions could be affected by a project. And those transportation facilities include major local arterials, public transit within 5 miles. Well, certainly the TART operation is within 5 miles of Palisades' proposed project. Maybe at this point, John, you might want to step out. But the point I want to make is not that we're going to be in opposition to anyone's project. It is the opportunity at the earliest moment for our staffs to get together. That would be the Tahoe Transportation District, TART, you know, and TRPA, because our staff really is TTD staff, and a lot of what we do in the planning aspects of being the Metropolitan Planning Organization, to sit down and deal with many of the projects, especially in the North County, north part of the lake, they're trying to address the impact of transportation and traffic coming into and out of the basin. So it's that earliest point where you can actually sit down and say, okay, how can working together, can we deal with the obvious traffic impacts that would occur with a major development project, not within our permit jurisdiction, but certainly within our transportation planning jurisdiction. And that's the only point, is that there is authority out there from California in the CEQA guidelines for how we should address issues like that, not as opponents. And this issue did come up when we had a board-to-board call with the League to Save Lake Tahoe. They were very aware this project was coming back up. They wanted us to be really involved. And I think it's appropriate that we should be consulted, and we should work with Placer County and others on how we would deal with it, whatever the traffic counts might be for a project of that size. But it's not as an opponent. We're not adversarial. And I agree with John. There was a difference in MARTIS for a lot of reasons. One was MARTIS initially was within the basin, and then they took parts of it out and they built it right up next to the basin, but still it was going to be visible from the basin. It was all sorts of stuff that really was quite a bit different. And I know, Shelley, you have concerns about how far out do we have to go. But on this side, the slippery west slope, there is guidance from the CEQA guidelines simply because of our role as a metropolitan planning organization that works within SACOG, within Placer County, and Placer County addresses both SACOG and us. And so there are opportunities really at the earliest stage of the environmental review process, long before there might be a draft environmental document that draws everybody's attention, to sit down and say, okay, how do we fit this project in with what we're trying to accomplish on Highway 89? That's, I think, the purpose. This law was put in place by the California legislature because of problems in Southern California, where you had everybody was building auto malls because it was a good way to get revenue, and they built them right up next to one another. But then there the traffic consequences of these shopping malls or auto malls or whatever they became was simply said, well, that's your problem. It's not ours. We're taking care of ours. And so it became, no, it really is a regional issue. And we'd like you all to kind of get together and work these out and not leave it with the sense that, you know, once it leaves your city or county jurisdiction, it's not a problem. I think it's just and many of the things that we do, the opportunity to work collaboratively with our partners makes it easier for us to resolve some of these issues rather than leave it for the Court of Appeal to find a fault with an agency's environmental review. So that's my pitch.
Well, that's really an appreciated perspective. Do you think it's helpful at this point, Bill, if we have Marcia weigh in on Palisades and where we are, or did we want to?
Oh, that's fine.
Is sure. that okay? Sure. John, do you?
I don't need to leave the room.
Okay.
Okay. Participate.
Thank you. Thanks, Marcia, for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. Happy to do it. So the status of this project is they are preparing to rescind the previous project approvals, and they're moving forward with a revised environmental document. My understanding is I haven't gotten a very clear answer about how close they are to having that document ready to release as a draft. We have had some conversations. The California Attorney General is still engaged and wants to see a similar mitigation requirement as at this point. I think their position is that they are very likely going to want to have some kind of an agreement to mitigation similar to what they had for the previous project. I'm not sure where that's a long process. I think longer than the project applicant was hoping it would be. The Attorney General there's a new Attorney General, right? So this is a different conversation than it was during the review of the project previously. So it's just in the beginning stages of getting back on track for release of the environmental document as a draft, and that will provide that comment opportunity and the consultation opportunity. In my view, that consultation should happen before the draft is released, and I'm working at getting that process going. I think that there's been a little bit of a disconnect with the county in terms of, you know, what mitigation requirements should apply. In my view, the court has the opinion that the TRPA standards and thresholds should at least be part of the analysis. Whether or not the lead agency chooses to use that as a threshold of significance, I think is a with substantial evidence, they could potentially use a different threshold for the significance, but they do have to take into account our standards and our thresholds. So it would be my suggestion that we do attempt to engage the county prior to the release of that draft environmental document, in this consultation role that Bill just described to you.
Thanks for that, Marcia. Are we thinking something formal comments before the draft comes out, or I guess what's the chain of authority there once we have dates on who and when?
If I could, Madam Chair, I'm glad Marcia's saying that. If we could the idea was when we work on the implementation of our regional transportation plan, we will work with Placer County, Placer County's transportation agencies and TART and everybody trying to figure out what to do. And we have projects that are queued up within our regional transportation plan to address Highway 89's traffic problems. One was one that Placer County really proposed, which was a third lane that would allow a bus leaving Truckee going directly to Palisades that would, take skiers or summer visitors or whatever to avoid the traffic. And there are things that need to be worked out. So there are differences today than what that mitigation measure is, whatever it was the Attorney General did. We have advanced our transportation planning process significantly with two bi-state discussions about what we want to do, priorities that we've established for within our transportation plan. And it was what I think a rather aspirational plan that some of us said, gee, maybe we could come up with some really more on this transportation plan that give a sense that there are projects that we're actually going to accomplish. And some of those are in the north side of the lake, which are outside our permit jurisdiction, but well within our planning jurisdiction. And those are the kind of things that should be discussed with Placer County, and trying our best to take away the adversarial or the thing is that we're still working together on this, and this is a project that will increase traffic. And how do we accommodate it within what we're planning to do in Highway 89? That's all that should be done, but it should be done early. And it really should be the discussion among the agencies, not the project proponent saying, well, gee, we'd like to get this done quickly. Because, you know, it's important that we try to address these transportation issues in a way that everybody's working together. And if we're all working together, we might find there's more funding available to help us resolve these issues, and funding that wouldn't necessarily come from the private developer, but from the realization that the agencies working together in light of what is coming forward need support to work, deal with this issue. So that's what I think should happen.
I think the funding point and the, you know, collaborating early points, I think that almost always yields better results than if you're waiting till later in litigation. I'm just trying to go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, John, would there be an opportunity to amend our MOU with Placer County? Memorandums of understanding are typically kind of, they're not obligatory in terms of adherence, but you know, if we can all agree that projects that fall within our jurisdiction, for example, from a transportation perspective, even though it doesn't relate to permitting, if they agree to confer with us as projects come forward, even on a conceptual, at a conceptual level, then maybe this will become more of a routine and less of an exception to the rule. So is there a way of formalizing the arrangement?
I think we need to look carefully at that. I think the answer is yes. It may not be our existing MOU, which really focuses on kind of project approval issues and the delegation issues. I think, though, we might be able to expand that a bit in terms of, you know, how we coordinate issues regarding near basin developments. You know, this is one of the things that I know Julie's going to have to get bone up on quickly and be able to provide direction from staff on how, you know, how and where she and Marcia should interact with Placer County on, you know, doing the various levels of consultation that they've talked about.
Thank you. This is such a great idea. And I think we're all saying the same thing. It's just trying to figure out operationally now how to.
Well, also, you know, if there's an established agreement among the parties, it becomes, you can avoid it becoming confrontational because this is part of the established process.
Yeah.
In other words, when Placer County receives a project application, and there's a general idea of how many units are involved and what the environmental impacts might be, that you engage up front, then, you know, we can't be accused of being kind of a, you know, this being an 11th hour hit from the agency, because that's not good for public relations. That's not good for our ongoing, you know, working relationship with our partners in the area and region. So I think to the extent that we can formalize it, I think that would be a huge advantage.
I'm sure.
Please.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Julie Reagan here. Great discussion. I wanted to offer a couple thoughts. Number one, just in the last 6 months, we've had some new discussions with Placer County on all the projects that they're looking for under the area plan on the North Shore. And I would say we've got just a renewed spirit of cooperation with the county, and the leadership at the staff level is strong. Myself, John Hester, Joanne Marchetta, and Nick Haven met with their CEO's office on the North Shore with our board chair, with Cindy Gustafson, who I would really want to engage in this conversation as well, obviously. But I feel like we've hit a new level of collaboration with Placer. They're really leading the way, I think, in terms of area plan implementation and thoughtfulness around that. We didn't cover these out-of-the-basin projects, but I think we can certainly add that into a more structured conversation with the county. I remember really my first year when John Singlob was our executive director, when MARTIS came to the agency. And I'll never forget the stinging headline of KTVU in the Bay Area. The story was TRPA takes a powder on these developments because we weren't engaging. And I think we've evolved so far since then. There was a lot of distrust at the time, directed at the agency, you know, how dare you even comment on an out of the basin project? It's not your jurisdiction. We've worked through a lot of those. We're in a different place, I think, with the constituency in our two states. And I love, Bill, I love your through line of the transportation investments. I had the same exact thought. This is the Transportation Action Plan. It's an opportunity to collaborate on, you know, that dedicated transit lane project is about a $400 million project. But, you know, again, record infrastructure investments are available, you know, to us to pursue collaboratively and not in an adversarial position. So I'm happy to circle back, you know, and work with the teams on these items specifically.
I think, Julie, my only comment to that is the landscape changes very quickly, especially among elected officials. So even though you might have a very cordial, you know, productive relationship with people who are currently in power, that may change in the future. So to the extent we can memorialize some of these agreements, these understandings between among the jurisdictions, the better. Yeah. So I would still encourage that the idea of memorializing it in writing so that everyone understands what the expectations are.
Excellent. Thank you.
I agree with Shelley. If we could do that, even, and I agree it's beyond what a normal MOU is with Placer County, but to establish that kind of working relationship for out of basin, but still within the transportation planning aspects of what we're all working on would be great. That would be really helpful. And yeah, you're not going to solve some of these things. I mean, as far as just from a mitigation standpoint through a CEQA document, but if everybody's talking about it, then we begin to realize, hey, there's impetus for doing what we really want to do as part of our regional transportation plan, which is that additional lane maybe, or more transit opportunities, whatever it might be, will come from that kind of consultation. I think it's really important, and it helps. Yeah, you're right. You always run the risk of just because of what the Tahoe transportation, what TRPA could be as looked at is that, oh, this is another top-down message from TRPA. And that really is not the case of where we have evolved, especially in this transportation planning work that we've done, where we've really solicited for the last 4 years through the bi-state discussions, ways of which we can all work together as a basin on our transportation solution. So, and I would include in that discussion, Julie, Alexis Hill, who's the TTT chair, to make sure that she and Cindy, who work well together, obviously, can, you know, help work this one out. I think that it's in everybody's interest. So.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Bill. Special thank you to you for bringing this to legal committee and for sending all the background. Thanks for setting this up so well. And Marcia, thank you for being here and having recommendations for us. It sounds like Julie will hear back from you in legal committee and then go from there. Sound good?
Yep. We'll work together on that.
And okay, sounds good. I was going to open this up for public comment unless any other board member wanted to weigh in at this point. Okay. Let's now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the governing board or the legal committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Gavin, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Hey, good morning, Legal Committee. Gavin Feiger, behalf of the League of Save Lake Tahoe. Thanks, Bill, for bringing this up and for the really thoughtful and detailed conversation around this. You know, the League has very similar, if not almost identical, mission to TRPA. We only get engaged in a few out-of-basin projects, so Palisades and Martis being the two relevant today that you brought up. So we obviously strongly think that TRPA should be engaged as we are. The transportation nexus is a really good idea. Those are usually the largest impacts and clarity, you know, from transportation. And in that vein, hoping that either discuss or you've been following the Truckee general plan update. So also linked to transportation, and they're projecting an increase in vehicle miles traveled, and a large portion of that would be into the Tahoe Basin. The lead provided comments on the Truckee general plan, the 2040 general plan. We'd be happy to share those. But similarly with MARTIS and Palisades, we'd hope that TRPA would look at that, look at Truckee's general plan and the transportation impacts that could come to the basin from it. And finally, just really encourage you to get involved with Palisades soon, like now. They are actively repurposing their proposal to address, you know, some of the concerns that the courts brought up. So the time is ripe right now. And thanks for your attention to these projects. I mean, they truly are going to undermine all the work we're doing in the basin, especially around transportation. Thanks for the time and the thoughtfulness.
Thanks, Gavin. Is there anyone else, Catherine?
Madam Chair, there are no other hands raised to comment on this item.
Thank you. With that, are there any additional comments or questions from committee members on this item? Okay, seeing none, let's move on to agenda item 4, which is the closed session with council to discuss existing and potential litigation. Committee members and staff, we're going to move into a closed session. The main session will resume after the closed session is over. Remote committee members, please wait to be moved into a Zoom breakout room. We need a motion to go into closed session.
So moved.
Thank you. Do we need a vote?
Yes.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays? Motion carries. Okay. Let's wait until all of everybody's left and our committee members have moved over to our breakout room. And then, John, I'm going to pass you the mic.
Catherine, will you let me know when we're ready to go?
I will let you know.
Thank you.
All right, Madam Chair, open session is ready to resume.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Let's move on to agenda item 5, which is potential direction regarding agenda item 4. I'd like to confirm with John Marshall that we have no action at this time.
Correct.
Thank you. Let's move on then to agenda item 6, which is committee member comments. Are there any members of the committee that have comments? All right, seeing none. Let's go ahead and move on to public interest comments. We're now on our final item of this morning's meeting, public interest comments. If any member of the public wishes to speak at this time, please raise your hand by either clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. And Catherine, can you please let me know if we have anyone that wishes to speak?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay. With that, we're going to move to adjourn. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So can I ask a question, Catherine?
Yes, sir.
I will now, when I get off this, I should then go back onto the main Zoom because I'm on a separate Zoom here.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're adjourned. Thank you.